Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jamie Creel with Shelter Insurance. Come see how we've built a name that you can trust and why it is a must to get your free quote today with our Switch and Save. Located in Ridgeland and Flora, Mississippi, give us a call, 601-992-6000.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. You can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget to watch us. So we are on your computer or your mobile device. Today, we're celebrating the fact that the Columbus YMCA has got a centennial celebration coming up. That's 100 whole years in their community. Joining us is their executive director, Jimmy Woodruff, to tell us more. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Rebecca. How are you doing?
So have you been the executive director since day one?
I have. Well, no, not 100 years. But I've been the director here at the Columbus YMCA for a little over 4 years.
Okay. Well, not cool yet. 94, missing. No, I'm just picking on you. But 100 years of service to the community is a big deal for something, any organization, much less a YMCA and all that they do. So take us back 100 years ago. I know you weren't there necessarily, but what was sort of the right ingredients for the YMCA to sort of find itself in Columbus?
Yeah, so a lot of people may not realize, but the YMCA movement, we've all heard of the YMCA, but the movement actually started in London, England in 1844 by a gentleman named George Williams, and he was looking for a way to make a positive impact in the youth there in the London area. And so the YMCA movement, you know, eventually made its way to the United States in Boston, Massachusetts, in 1851. So that was the birth of it here in our country, but it did not originate here. And so over the whole United States, I mean, there are many YMCAs, and of course they all kind of got their start at you know, a certain unique period of time for their local community. But here in Columbus, a gentleman by the name of Frank P. Phillips was just very passionate about bringing the YMCA movement to Columbus. And so on April the 23rd of 1924, he organized a dinner meeting at the First Methodist Church here in Columbus, and they officially organized the Columbus YMCA, elected their first board of directors, and then it all started right there. And so Frank P. Phillips, we actually have his namesake. So the Columbus YMCA is actually the Frank P. Phillips Memorial YMCA. And Mr. Phillips was not only our founder and our, you know, the driving force of bringing the movement here, but he was also very generous financially to help us get started at the beginning. And then he was, very generous to the point where we still benefit today from his generosity. So the YMCA here in Columbus is just an institution. Columbus is a small town, like a lot of small towns in Mississippi, and the Y has impacted so many people. If you're from this area and you've lived here for a long period of time, there's probably 100% chance that the Y influenced you in some way. Maybe
I would
you
assume,
took swimming
Jimmy,
lessons when you were younger, or coached basketball, or were just a member. It's impacted so many people, and it's an amazing organization, and we're so excited to be able to celebrate 100 years here in Columbus.
And I would assume, Jimmy, there's probably a lot of grandparents, parents, children who, like, generationally have had those same experiences there at the Y, talking about the Y, summer camps, all the youth programs that the Y is sort of notorious for. Has it always been in the same location? I know it's probably gone over renovations as well as expansions over the last 100 years in Columbus, Jimmy, but has it kind of stayed true to maybe where its first founding roots were?
It is. So we're located right in heart of downtown Columbus, and so the Y started in 1924, and of course there were some years where they were raising money, and then they completed a big fundraising campaign and were able to actually build the iconic red brick building on 2nd Avenue North, and it was completed in 1930. So we've been in this building downtown since 1930. Now, we have another branch in Caledonia, Mississippi, which is a community here in Lowndes County, and we've had another couple of branches. We had a Camp Henry Pratt. That's where we did our summer and day camps. And we had a branch in New Hope, Mississippi, but we no longer have those branches. But it's just it's the downtown location. We've been here for since in this particular spot since 1930, and then we do have another branch. And you're right. I mean, just generational impact of the Y. So I know so many people have heard so many stories, you know, of people who their dad gave them membership when they were little. They did sports. They learned to swim. They were tied in. And now they have children and even grandchildren that participate in YMCA activities and programs. So it's amazing.
Well, y'all are going to celebrate 100 years coming up this weekend, I think, or maybe it is this weekend, April the 27th. So how are you going to celebrate that centennial birthday?
Great, great question, and thank you for bringing that up. So, yes. So we are planning a big centennial block party. And so the block party is going to occur right here at our downtown location on 2nd Avenue North. It's going to be Saturday. It's going to be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to have music. We're going to have food. We're going to have games. We're going to have so many events. And it's just going to be a big celebration. And we'll have 2nd Avenue in front of the building blocked off. We're just inviting the whole community. So you don't have to be a member. You know, we just, if you live in Columbus or you live in the area and you looking for something to do this coming Saturday, we encourage you to come to the downtown YMCA for our block party. It's just a big celebration. It's our birthday party. It's our 100-year birthday, and we want everybody in Columbus to come and be a part of that. And so we'll have a lot of events going on outside, a lot of events for kids. We'll have fitness demos outside. So some of our signature classes, fitness classes, like, for example, Zumba or Strength Train Together or Silver Sneakers, you know, we're actually going to do little demo classes outside. So people who maybe don't even know what all that's about can kind of see what, you know, what goes on in one of those classes. We'll have a health screening station. We'll have refreshments. Inside the building will be an open house setting. We'll have a memorabilia room. So when the building opened in 1930, we had dormitories where men could rent rooms. We don't do that anymore, but so much history up there. So we've got a room that we're going to convert over to a memorabilia room that will have some longtime members narrating that with pictures and just artifacts and things like that from our 100-year history here in Columbus. We'll have a pickleball tournament where people can come in and walk in the gym, see pickleball in action. Then we'll convert after that to, some three-point shooting contests for kids to be involved in. We'll have music. We've got a DJ. We'll have food trucks. So it's just going to be a big fun time, and we've been looking forward to it for a long time.
For 100 years,
here, and it's our birthday party, and everybody's invited.
So, do you have and it maybe not exactly, but like your longtime members? I was curious who's got like the longest membership. I mean, maybe if they started when they were young and they've been around a couple of decades, have y'all kept up with maybe who in Columbus has been a member of the YMCA the longest?
I think I know who that is, and he will actually be here Saturday to kind of help tell stories and things like that. And he has had a membership since for 83 years now. And as far as I know, to my knowledge, he's been tied in the longest, and has coached here, member here, was on our board for many years, and just a wealth of knowledge, and another generational person where his dad brought him to the Y, and he comes to watch his grandkids play basketball in the basketball league. So, but we've got quite a few members that are in that same range of length of membership service. So, very special place. The YMCA is an unbelievable community organization, and it's just a big family.
It's definitely proof there in Columbus. So, Jimmy, if we want to find out more about the YMCA, maybe swing by and help you guys celebrate coming up Saturday. Is there a website, somewhere we can go?
Yes. So columbus-ymca.com, that's our website. And then our Facebook page is Columbus YMCA. If you've never been there, be careful because there are other Columbuses like Columbus, Ohio, Columbus, Georgia. So you might, when you first go in, specify Columbus, Mississippi, YMCA. Lots of information on our Facebook page and our website, talking about the event Saturday and our history. So,
well, congratulations, Jimmy. I know you've been there four, but wishing you all the best of the next 100 years, and also reminding us to visit our local YMCA. They're doing good things in communities in Columbus and all over Mississippi. So I appreciate your time.
Yes, Rebecca. Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
All righty. You guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Good time never seems so good.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
I'm a morning time, yeah. We're going strong, heading up down the river. Oh, Lord, I feel the reveling. I feel a change on the rise. What good's a man?
Welcome back to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you have downloaded that. You can always find us on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, and we hope you know you can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And if you've watched Shark Tank and thought, man, I got a great idea, I'd love to be on that, can't help you there, but I can help you get your good idea, at least into an event that's one of its kind here in Mississippi, happening on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And joining us to tell us a little bit more is the owner and operator of The Meeting Place. Hey, Giovanna.
Hey, Rebecca. How are you?
Geneva. Sorry, I got it wrong. Ms. Geneva, I'm doing well, and I'm super excited about this. We have had Innovate Mississippi and all kinds of pitch opportunities on before, and so anytime there's an opportunity to get entrepreneurs the chance to put their big ideas in front of folks, I always like to spread that word. So what's happening on the Mississippi Gulf Coast?
So we are one of 8 regional partners in Innovate's Co-Builders Accelerator Program. So our regional pitch competitions actually serve as preliminary filters, if you will, for people who are invited to participate in the Co-Builders Accelerator, which happens a little bit later after all of the regional pitch competitions are done. So if you don't participate in one of these regional pitch competitions, you do not get into Co-Builders. So this is step one for people.
And they need to know that. But what if they're thinking, Ms. Geneva, that, man, my idea is just not ready, or how far along in the process do I need to be? You know, what is your thoughts to them?
I would say fill out the application, because you just never know what – nobody has the faith that they really should have. Some people are overconfident. I will give them that. But most people – we'll always underestimate themselves. We've always got imposter syndrome, right? Oh, it's not good enough. Nobody wants it. It's never going to go anywhere. Stop it. Fill out the application and let us tell you where you need to go from here. And I call everybody personally to either tell them the good news that they've made it into the cohort this year, or here's why you didn't get in. Fix these things, apply again next year, and meet us at our Connect meetups every quarter to learn more about how to get where you need to be for investors to really want to dig into your idea.
So it sounds like even, as you mentioned, step one would just be shake off the nerves, because the worst thing, Ms. Geneva, you're going to tell them is not this year, right? Like, it's maybe it's not where it needs to be, and that could be just what you need to hear to send you in the right direction. So, or it may be, hey, welcome, you know, you are far enough along in your idea to go to the next step, which would be remarkable.
Yes, and this is not the major league pitching. This is where the minor leagues happen. So we want people who are new to this process.
And the application form, where can they find that?
That is available on my website. It's also on cobuilders.ms, which is the CoBuilders website. I think if they just add a slash and apply, it'll get them to all of the regional pitch opportunities that exist right now, because it may be, since you're statewide, there's one that's closer to them that they may want to participate in. Mine is all virtual, so a lot of times people who don't get into one in another location, they will come apply for mine, and they can participate no matter where they are in the state. So CoBuilders is probably the best place to go. Of course, my Facebook page, The Meeting Place MS, I have multiple posts about it, and they all link to the application. And if all else fails, call me.
It's a good old way to sort of get through, because you have from now until the 26th. So the application process has been open for a little while. So you probably expect some folks to get in there, you know, last minute. Is the application long and lengthy? Is there a lot of things that they need to sort of think through, or is it something they can say, you know what, I'm gonna get off my butt today after listening to good things, get on there and fill it out?
Everything that's on the application, I think the whole thing should probably take them maybe 20 minutes at the most, and most of the information they will have top of mind.
Okay, if they get called back, what happens next for them, Ms. Geneva?
So I host an accelerator, kind of a mini accelerator, before the actual pitch competition on May 31st. So we have pitch practice before we are pitch perfect, hopefully. And that's every Friday through the month of May from 1 to 3. And you also are assigned a mentor, so you're not just doing this by yourself. You have somebody who's been in business for a while, and they are used to what investors are looking for, helping people assess what's important, what's not, getting the right information in that slide deck so that when you give the competitive version of your pitch, you are giving people, the judges, the information that they need. And I also have two practice judge rounds as well. So the final competition is not the first time they'll see the judging, and they will also get feedback in the form of the scorecards that will be used at the final competition as well.
So, Ms. Geneva, if businesses or entrepreneurs or someone with a great idea is listening and they're thinking, well, I don't have new technology, or I haven't come up with a great new, you know, whatever to take place of, I don't know, I'm trying to think off the top of my hand from Shark Tank, what kind of businesses or entrepreneurship are you guys sort of like looking for? Does it run the gamut, like anything that's just new and creative?
It does run the gamut. What they're looking for with respect to Innovate Mississippi is it needs to be marketable and it needs to be scalable. And that means that people need to want it and you have to be able to grow it. So I have a really nice video at the beginning of the application. So when you click on the apply here, it says to watch this video. It's a little lengthy, but it's Tony Jeff himself telling people what CoBuilders is designed for. And so that is a really great overview of what Innovate is looking for. Like I said, if you're at all on the fence, fill out the application. I'll tell you what's going on.
So have you gone through this process, Ms. Geneva, with the meeting place, or how did you get connected with Innovate Mississippi?
So when we first started this 3 years ago, we were all volunteer. Not Innovate, they were getting paid, but I volunteered to come in and run the pitch competition down here. I just really enjoy giving people the opportunity to learn how to speak intelligently, comprehensively, and succinctly about their business idea, because if you ramble, you lose people's interest. If you don't get to the point, people will move on, and they're not going to give you a second thought. So I just love helping people effectively communicate.
So what is your business? You're the founder of The Meeting Place there on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. What do y'all do when you're not trying to help out with the pitch competition? What are y'all doing on a daily basis?
Well, this is kind of what I do. I'm a business incubator, and I'm also a shared office facility. So we operate like a gym, but instead of working out, you're working.
I love that. So, I mean, if someone just needs a business place for a meeting of two or a meeting of 20, is there, kind of give us the rundown of The Meeting Place. Oftentimes folks are looking for that spot that's not their home office.
So I have membership levels, but I also have drop-in rates as well. So if you need a place to get together for pretty much anything, I mean, I don't do the birthday parties and that kind of thing. It's more about business. But if you need a place to sit down with somebody and be productive, this is the place you need to be.
So if you're listening and maybe you know you're not ready for the pitch, maybe you could at least go to the application and just look and say, you know, I know there's some loose ends, or really start thinking it through, and I'm inspired. Ms. Geneva, is that something they could call you and just start working on, so maybe for the 2025 pitch competition they would be better suited?
Yes, so there's a couple of ways that we can interact. I host Connect meetings, entrepreneurs and investors, all together quarterly. And if you watch my Facebook page, that's where I'm most active. But we have a meetup group as well. Also, we have some great free resources here all over the state. So Innovate Mississippi has counselors that you can talk to about your idea, and they help guide you through the process. And, of course, they're extremely familiar with this process. And also, the Small Business Development Centers are your best friend. You get a free business counselor to go through all aspects of starting a business. And when I was counseling with them, I would tell people, look, I'm either going to help you avoid one of the greatest mistakes you're going to make, or help you make one of the best decisions you'll make. So it could go either way, but I would highly recommend, and I share the SBDC contact information and Innovate's contact information with people on a daily basis. Those two resources right there will get people where they need to go.
It's still possible to have your American dream as an entrepreneur, even in this sort of weird climate?
It is. Don't give up.
Don't give up. At least apply. So that's what I'm hearing today. I'm hearing today, if this at least inspired you, go look at the application, see if it's if you're a good fit. If you're not, then just step back and still contact you, Ms. Geneva, and figure it out for next year. Or find out the right pitch place in your part of Mississippi, because you are in the six counties on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Absolutely. And if you're just thinking about starting a business, call the Small Business Development Center and get on the line with a business counselor and help them. Let them help you figure out whether or not it's right for you.
All righty. Well, I appreciate your time, Ms. Geneva, and all you're doing there on the Gulf Coast for entrepreneurs.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All righty. You guys stick with us. We got more for you up next.
For trying to reach the things that I can't see.
Yeah.
That's just how it's.
Rebecca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Baby, lay on back and relax. Your pretty feet up on my
dad. Welcome back to Good Things. I hope you know we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you know, too, that you can always find us on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And, two, don't forget that our Supertalk Mississippi news team, they're always covering your Mississippi stories. And we want you to stay up to date. So sign up for our free weekly newsletter. And you can do all of that over at supertalk.fm/newsletter. And while you're there, and if you want some good news, you can always hit that lifestyle button, and a lot of good headlines will pop up. And two that I saw that you might want to go read more about was that Southern Miss pays tribute to World War II, Camp Shelby All-Star Baseball Team. So I thought that's pretty cool. You can go and look at their unique uniforms and the nostalgia that it brought back, but also all of the honor that it sort of gave to those players as well. And then, too, our boy Hardy. He's my friend. He's like, our boy Hardy. Like, yeah, he should. Hey, if you're listening, Hardy or his family, he's always welcome on Good Things to promote the fact that he's got his first stadium concert, and he chose to come back to Mississippi to do that at Doobie Noble Field. That is coming up September the 12th. So I know many of you will get excited about getting out and seeing country music star and Mississippi native Hardy in Starkville coming up in September. Should be a good thing. If you want to read more about that, again, you can find all of that over at supertalk.fm. And Rhino, looking at the national calendar as we do every day, I got a chuckle because today is actually, didn't know it, the National Take a Chance Day, which fits perfectly into taking a chance on your idea to become an entrepreneur if you think that's something that has stirred inside of you. Did you ever have like something that you went and saw and said, I should have thought of that, or I did think of that. Why didn't I think of it sooner? Or just something recently that just blew your mind and was like, why has it taken this long for somebody to figure it out? Kind of like wheels on your suitcase, like when that actually hit, like that was such innovation for those who traveled much that you really thought like, why didn't suitcases start with wheels? Like why didn't we think of that sooner? So, but have you had something you thought, man, I should have put that out there?
I've had a couple times where I thought I had a really good idea, whether it be for a product or a service or even something a little bit more creative, and just didn't pull the trigger on it. But the one that came to mind when you first asked me is in the Wayback Machine. I was probably 11 or 12, and my younger brother was 15 months behind me at that point. And we were at the Sam's Club in Tupelo, bored out of our minds because our parents were doing just shopping and we were just wandering around. And we found this piece of cardboard. It was a rectangular piece of cardboard with a triangular notch cut out of the middle of it. And it was just something that was part of packaging on a pallet. It was nothing special, nothing fancy. But being the tweenagers we were, bored out of our minds, with a big, long Sam's Club aisle to do nothing with, we started throwing it like a frisbee. And the thing flew like magic. So we thought, oh, we've discovered the next frisbee. This is awesome. Until we threw it and it got stuck on a box up at the top of the stacks at the Sam's Club. But we're like, it's okay. We got this. It's just a rectangle with a triangle cut out of it. We can make it at home. We got cardboard at home. We went home and cut up every corrugated cardboard box we could get our hands on, and none of them flew anywhere near as good as that original piece of cardboard. And then when we found another piece of cardboard just like it, it didn't fly like it. It was like that one piece of cardboard was magic. But for that one, couldn't have been longer than 5 minutes before we lost the thing, was just like, we're going to be millionaires. This is awesome.
Every kid in America is going to... Did you have a name? Did y'all come up with any of
that? No, we hadn't even got that far.
Oh, man, you wonder what happened to that. I bet somebody just cleaning up, either it just fell down and then your hopes and dreams got taken to the recycle bin probably or so. Thinking back, do you think that was just a magical piece of cardboard, or do you think y'all missed a like physics formula to why the piece of card, the thickness or the size of it, or Lord, I don't know.
Well, I mean, that was right around the same time you started seeing the decline of the Nerf football, because they had they'd come up with pretty much every innovation they could. I mean, you had the original Nerf, and then they put the tail on the end of it so you could throw it, and then they put the whistles on it so it would make noise when you threw it. And it was a couple years afterwards, because I remember joking about it with my little brother, that I don't know what it's called, but it's just a cylinder with a wavy back end on it that you can throw like a football, and it flies pretty well. When that came out, we're like, oh, well, somebody already did the frisbee.
They got your idea. They were there in the Sam's Club on aisle 10 the same day we were, and they saw us, and they stuck up there, and they stole it. They stole our idea. Hope you wrote them a nasty letter and said, if I had money for a lawyer, I'd come after you and your Frisbee idea. Jeff in Pontotoc said, yes, the screw cap on a bottle of motor oil. After years of punching the nasty oil spout into the can, a screw cap was a head slapper. So there's probably tons of things that you use on a daily basis or just often. When it finally got innovated to become a little more user-friendly, you thought, one, why didn't I think of that? And then two, like, by gosh, finally somebody figured that out.
Like the cap on any ointment or cream. For the longest time, if you got an ointment or cream from a pharmacy, it would have a little thing on the end where you could turn it around and poke a hole in the foil. But you didn't see that on Neosporin or Bacitracin or anything off, over the counter. Nowadays, it's everywhere.
I don't think I've noticed that. Yeah. I mean, I've noticed it, but I don't think I've noticed that that hadn't always sort of been that way.
Yeah, you
way.
Didn't always have the little poker in the other end.
I appreciate the memes that usually go around and say, like, it's the year 2024. Come on, bacon package people. We can do better than this. And I agree. Like, it's one that I'm always shaking my head. I'm like, why? Because nobody cooks. Not nobody. Most people don't cook the entire pack of bacon in one sitting. That's usually not how families do it. And so you have this weird, non-resealable thing, and then you have to put it into a Ziploc bag, which would make total sense if you just somehow packaged it in a zip-closed bag that you then have to now throw away with the throwaway part of the bacon because, ooh. And then, or you're really, you know, brave, and you just do the whole fold-over thing, and then you slide it back in there, and you just have to clean up after it. But there's somebody that just, like, thinking, hot dogs are the same way. Most people do not cook an entire package of hot dogs at one time. Now, some of them have
the
resealable, and they've started now doing, what is it, 8 that comes in? My Steve Martin.
They started matching up the buns.
It's like the Steve Martin from Father of the Bride's coming into play, but they'll have 4 in one and then 4 in the other. So unless you need that odd number, you can do like half and half at one time. But that's still the same, like, ooey gross. Like, why can't I reseal this? Like, it's, you know, if I'm not going to use them all, it doesn't make a whole lot of good walking around sense in that capacity.
I think that's why my mom always just cut the bacon package right down the middle, because then that half of a package could easily fit into a sandwich Ziploc, and the other half you just fry up.
Right. And that's how we've always had to do it. But it makes no sense that they can't have a resealable bacon package of some kind now. I mean, folks would just, you would go ahead, charge us an extra 50 cents. I mean, come on. Like, groceries are already high enough. Why not? I'm throwing away that 50 cents trying to use the Zip-Top bag that I don't necessarily have anymore. Ziploc for every box of cereal. That's another one that I've seen that I totally agree with. Like, why are we still wrestling with that? Like, I mean, at this point, you should be able to open and close the box of cereal. All parents know that first moment that you have to teach your kids, because it usually comes out, unfortunately, like, as anger. Anger is probably a hard word. But when your kid goes to pull the whole thing out of the box that first time, you're like, no, because you can't really get it back in the box. And they're like, huh?
Not without a lot of shimmying and shaking.
So, but you would think that they would have come up with a way. But while we're at that, like, that would be same with chips and all. But I kind of understand the chip part, too. But as long as I said that, I guess that translates to cereal also, because they need the air for whatever. And so maybe that's why it's not as easy to have, like, a reclose. But that's not true, because there's some things that you open and then you have to pop it to then get to it, so then you can close it. So I retract that. It could work. It'd probably be expensive, but it would.
I don't know if you would have the little zipper style Ziploc, but you could definitely have the compression style Ziploc. Because, yeah, I mean, pretty much any shredded cheese that comes in a plastic bag nowadays from the grocery store, it's got the rip off, and then you can close it back up.
Yes, absolutely. Come on, people, innovate. Let's make this happen.
We need to change some rules and regulations and allow some things to be imported. Like, for example, in Japan, they have a type of glass jar that jelly and jam comes in that you literally just sit the lid on it and gravity closes it.
So why don't we have that?
imports and stuff. We can't even get cars from the last 10 years from Japan. You got to wait 20.
Dwayne and Brandon says they finally came out with a slide cutter for plastic wrap. And we have been waiting on that for a really long time also. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
In Mississippi.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you take a little time and download that. You can always find us, too, on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can watch us. We're on Supertalk TV as well on your computer or your mobile device. Thinking about innovations that just took humans way too long to come up with, I found six. And I had no idea that some of the things that we use every day took folks really long time to sort of figure out would be helpful in those areas. One, I don't know if it's on the list, but one would be wheels on a suitcase. I go back to say that. Like, I just can't imagine for all you folks who traveled years for business or pleasure or whatever, pre-wheels on a suitcase, and then finally, like, got your wheels on your suitcase. What a transformational.
Well, now they got them motorized where the handle that pulls up is actually a handlebar and you sit on the suitcase and ride it like a
scooter. Now that is just lazy. But the wheels I can see make perfect sense. Okay. So the can opener wasn't invented until 45 years after the can. How many frustrated individuals tried to get into their canned items before somebody just said, by gosh, there just has to be a better way of doing that. And I couldn't imagine. Now, I'll tell you, I'll be slap honest. I pay the extra 25, 50 cents to get the can with the little opener there. Like the little opener with you, because why not? I mean, you know. And so I can't imagine, though, if, like, you needed cans and you – I mean, because we've all been there. Like, we're on the privy of after that 45 years. Not everyone has a can opener, and that's what I'm getting at. Like, you know they exist now. There's an easy way to get in that can. And so if you have a can that doesn't have the little topper thingy for you and you can't find your can opener or it's broken, it's like you're going to lose a limb. Like, which phalange would you like to give up so you can get into your sauce or your beans or whatever it's going to be, because you're gambling one of them. I mean, to try to get in.
Well, in fairness, from my understanding of history, at that point in time, packaging was designed to be taken apart or removed and then reused if at all possible. Like something big would come in a big wooden crate, and you would take the wooden crate apart, and you have all this wood you could reuse plus what came in it. Or if it came wrapped in it would come wrapped in like a linen handkerchief. And you undo the linen handkerchief, and then there's your item, and then the linen handkerchief is like a bonus goodie. Here, keep this. You can use it. So putting something in a tin, that was as far as they had thought. Because their whole thought process was, well, I could take this apart, and now I have scrap metal. They didn't think of the convenience of, all right, take the top off and then throw that away.
No, I guess you could recycle it, still reuse it, but oh, still. Yeah. Now, this one's mind-boggling to me. The screwdriver wasn't invented until 3 centuries after the screw. Who'd have thunk it got it in there? How did you screw without a screwdriver? Like, how did you?
I'm just wondering what they're using as the invention of the screw, because the screw itself is just
turned with a wrench. So the first screws were turned with a wrench, but modern right. screws with the slot in the top were created around the 1500s. Slotted screws are, of course, turned by screwdrivers, which were invented in the 1800s. So, I guess you went from whatever that demotion to like sort of, you know, whatever.
Still. I wonder what came first, the socket or the screwdriver.
I have no idea. It's
because if you use a wrench, the socket would be the answer for that.
It's not on my list.
No telling.
The fax machine beats the invention of the telephone. That is kind of mind-boggling. If the fax machine would have outpaced the telephone.
Or at least the idea for it.
Mm-hmm.
There is an idea that it took too long to come to fruition, and they took a big chance on it, and it's actually credited with doing away with one of the bigger media companies in the world. Maybe not media company. Maybe that's not the right word. Maybe electronics company would be the right word. But you know the company RCA.
Yes.
With the little dog and the gramophone. It's been a while since you heard their name, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
That's because they kind of went defunct in the 80s after spending almost 20 years trying to figure out how to put video on vinyl records. Eventually they did it.
And we
it
needed
works,
that.
But it sunk the company.
That's unfortunate.
So they took the chance. Didn't work out.
Took 30,000 years, so this says. Don't come at me. To figure out how to slice bread properly.
Well, that's a bit of a jokey one there, because yes, bread's been around probably as long as grains have been around.
I agree with that one.
But sliced bread is a relatively new thing in the history of bread.
Friction matches weren't invented until the Victorian era. So I guess you had to rub two sticks together to get your fire going. And the steering wheel was invented 8 years after the first car. Thank goodness I wasn't driving prior to that.
Yeah, before that you just had a stick.
Yeah, that wouldn't have ended very well. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next. You get the boys with sports talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I'll meet you right back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.